This is Pants in the Boot, and I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman. Pants in the Boot is a series of programs. This is our fifth series about language, about the way we talk about the same thing in different parts of the world, or maybe it's a different thing in the same parts of the world. Sometimes it gets a little confusing, but joining me on this series are five lovely people from literally around the globe this time, not even figuratively, who will help us decipher what we mean by different things that we are not sure what they are. Joining me on this episode are Jean McDonald in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Howdy ho. Chris Finn in Broughty Ferry, which is in Scotland. Hello, Chris.
Archivenu.
Okay. And James Thompson, a place that I am told reliably and informed is called Glasgow.
That's close enough. I have more of a refined accent than Chris, but, you know, we're covering most of the country.
Erica Ensign in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, by way of Wisconsin, USA. Hello, Erica.
Hello, greetings from the Great White North.
And Sarah Hendrika Bickerton in Auckland, New Zealand. Hello, Sarah.
G'day, Glenn.
welcome to the podcast. And we're going to start this time around with making food. We've talked in previous series about all kinds of foods and drinks, but we haven't talked about the kitchen. And members of our Incomparable Slack, a group of people who support the Incomparable and talk about things, had a lot of questions. And so I thought we'd start with, you know, for some reason, we've been spending a lot of time in the house. Future listeners won't remember this period of time, but
I think we'll all remember.
Yeah, I guess we will. We suppress it. So let's start with the tea kettle. There's some cultural aspects about that as well as what we call it. I've got an electric kettle in my house, and I feel, but it's an electric robot kettle, actually. If Dan Morin were here, he could talk about his robot kettle as well. What do you call the thing you boil water in your kitchen?
I would just call it a kettle, and that's it. And it's a plug-in electric one because we have the power of 230 volts here, so we can actually boil water in a reasonable amount of time.
How dare you?
And I was shocked when I came to America, and you didn't seem to know what these things
were.
Ironically,
you weren't shocked because 110 volt is much, much safer.
It's very comforting voltage.
Well, you have to be scared of electricity. I think this is the, you know, if it's 110, then you could just, yeah. Exactly.
When I moved to the States and lived in Chicago for a period of time, I've managed to track down in like the early 2000s, a wee electric jug, because here in New Zealand, we refer to them as jugs. Yeah, it was old school, and it plugged into the wall, and you might get like a cup of tea by sometime close to Christmas. you'd plug it in, and then you'd go away. And the old idea was like you could go away and make yourself a cup of tea while you were making yourself a cup of tea.
I can assure you, things have improved since then on this continent. I had sort of more of James's experience. I grew up in the Midwest, and we most of my life didn't even have an actual tea kettle. Nobody in my family really drank tea that much. So if we wanted tea, we would just boil water in a pan and pour it into a cup on the stovetop. But the people who did have tea kettles, or when we did have a tea kettle, it was a cute little metal thing that whistled when the water got hot, and you would heat it up on the stovetop. And when I think it was when I visited somebody in, maybe it was the first time I went to the UK, and I was like, what is this thing on the countertop in every single home I have been in that boiled, like it's plastic or metal and it boils water inside it? That's amazing. And then I moved to Canada, and everybody here has one as well. And and we just recently got a new one, and we went to Canadian Tire, which is the store you go to when you want a small appliance. And
all right, we have to unpack that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and Farm and Fleet and Fleet Farm. That's a whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, and there was this aisle that had, I want to say, it didn't have a countertop model that you could like pick up and play with for every single one that they sold, but there were at least 10 models that you could pick up and like look at and compare, and then more than that. And I was recently speaking to my brother, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and he is like a fancy schmancy coffee drinker, and he wants to be able to heat up his water and French press it or AeroPress it or whatever. And I was like, oh, you should totally get an electric kettle. And he said, yeah, I've been thinking about that, but they're not that hard to find, but it's hard to find a good one. So he was having trouble because it's still not a super common thing there. But ours heats up water very fast, and it's one of those ones that has like a little base where you can just pick the kettle up off the base and wander around anywhere. So yeah. We've improved. We still don't have 230 volts, but North America at least Canada finally knows how to boil quickly.
Here in New Zealand, I've got two models. I've got my everyday one, which is we refer to as a cordless one, which is the one that you can pick up and walk around with. But
yes,
there's still a cord, of course. So but whatever. And it's got automatic cutoff and the whole shebang.
Yep.
But I've also got, as an old school thing, I've got one to go on to the hob, which we'll discuss later, and that is an old school one with a whistle on it. And so yes, when I'm in like tea making like routine and doing the whole procedure, the mere act of putting that onto the hob, having it heat up and it popping because the metal is heating up, and then start whistling, even though I've grown up with the electric kettles, experiencing the pot on the stove whistling and having to go over there because it doesn't cut off automatically is the most wonderful experience, even though it's so much more work to be able to do it.
To me, the kind of like the kettles that you put on a stove top and heat up, it's like something out of Elizabethan times. And whenever I see these things, I was like, what century are you living in?
There is one occasion where those would be used in the UK, James, of course, which is when you're camping.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, that's a completely different setup. But that's
like,
setup,
like the sort of like charm in which people in the UK hold those kind of whistling kettles appear, and the sort of curiosity we have for them, I think, is the sort of like flip side of the curiosity that North Americans need to have for like electric kettles that are just so boring and normal to us.
Our kettle, we've now got one where you can pick the temperature that you get.
I've got a tea robot that was given to me as a gift, and it uses magnetics to magnets. What can they do to raise and lower the area that holds the tea leaves? And you can set temperatures and timing, and unfortunately it does not clean itself for the dishes. But Jean, what kind of kettle do you have?
Well, yeah, this has been a thing for me. When I grew up, we had the kettle on the stove, and it was always the like completely sealed kettle, you know, usually like a polished aluminum, maybe with the copper bottom. I forget the name of the brand that specializes in those. But, you know, there's two kinds of that type of stovetop kettle. There's also the ones that have a lid that you can take off and fill it. And I think most people prefer those. But I've always had the completely sealed one with the, you know, it's got a black handle. It's and a little black lid for the where the whistle goes. And people have given me nicer ones because they think, oh, poor thing, she has such a boring old-fashioned kettle, and you can't even take the top off. You have to open, you know, you just have to put the water in where the water comes out. And I'm like, thank you, and re-gift it. And I like mine, and I think it is like, I think listening to everybody else's explanations, there is something. If you grew up with it, you like it, you know, or you don't like it. But
I should also point out to other folks, folks in other lands, that we have natural gas, at least here in Washington State.
Lucky.
And right. So when you may have 230 volts, but I can turn on a huge burning flame on my stovetop and produce massive of BTUs that way. So I've got a workaround.
Mm-hmm. So you're using actual fire.
I'm using
fire.
It's not just
Elizabethan times. We're going back.
Tightly controlled fire on my stovetop. Well, we're boiling over with excitement, so I'll go pour a cuppa. Thanks to Jean, Chris, James, Erica, and Sarah. Thank you to Chris Breen for the theme song. We are part of the Incomparable Network, and you can find us, as always, at theincomparable.com. And if you want to join us for more nonsense, sign up to be a member at theincomparable.com/members, and you can help support this and other programs. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with some boiling tea. Glasgow.
You need like a 2-minute episode of just you saying Glasgow.
Glasgow.
Flashbacks.